that I thank God that I had, and one of the men can help me out here, Brother Z. I thank God that I had a professor named Dr. John Benson. And he really was a blessing to me, listen, to give me tools to study the Bible. And I'm still benefiting from the master's degree and from the seminary and from John Benson and his ministry. He's long since gone to heaven, but he wrote books, and one of the books I told you, or he had a lot of writing on this, and he recommended a book by Elva McLean and Dr. George N. Peters. And I said that he helped me to see the theme of the Bible. What was the theme of the Bible? And one of the men, if you remember it, you tell me. All right, I'm going to go to Ben this time. Ben Bajeski.
The Mediatorial Kingdom.
Very good, Ben. The Mediatorial Kingdom. And that is God's reign over the whole earth, but through a man. And who? One of the men tell me, who was the first Mediatorial King in God's kingdom?
It was Adam.
It was Adam, and he was perfect, right? And a king has to be perfect if he's going to reign for God. And Adam was perfect. He was sinless. The problem is he became a sinner, right? And what was the problem? His wife. Well, that's what he said. But really, he didn't have to listen, and he sinned, and he lost the kingdom. The kingdom was lost, the mediatorial kingdom. And one of the men tell me, because I have men help me preach, amen, I need help. I get tired on Sunday night. I need help. And so one of the men helped me on who did the kingdom go to, the mediatorial, when Adam lost it?
Well, it went to the anointed cherub that covereth, that is the devil.
There you go. Went to the anointed cherub that covereth the devil. And I believe there are four of those that are the four beasts. He was the fifth. He's no longer there. All the other beasts represent all the creation, like man. One had the face of a man, ox, tame animals, lion. Another one, wild animals. And then the fish and the fowls, represented by the eagle. But there's no reptilian. Satan was over the reptiles. That's why he used a snake. That's why he's called the dragon. He's a reptilian. And he represents the reptilians before the throne of Almighty God. That's why he uses dinosaurs in his false theory of evolution. And that's why Ken Hovind was called Dr. Dino, because he stole the devil's thunder there. But anyway, I'm just trying to say to you all that Satan got the kingdom when Adam left it. Now you say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, think about Jesus now. He was offering the mediatorial kingdom, wasn't he, to Israel? He offered it to them. If they would accept him as their Messiah king, he would reign over the earth and in the mediatorial kingdom. But you remember, Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world. He showed him all the glory of the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all you have to do to be the king is to do what over the kingdoms of the world? All you have to do, Jesus.
What is worship me?
What is worship me? He's playing Jeopardy here. Worship me. What is worship me? And when you think about it, who was Satan trying to be? God. Because God is over the mediatorial kingdom. And he's looking for a man that acknowledges God as God. And Satan was saying to Jesus, I'll let you rule over my kingdom if you will worship me as God. And Jesus said, no thanks. No thanks. He said, only God's to be worshipped. And he quoted him the word of God on that. And you see, Jesus was not going to sell out for the kingdoms of this fallen world. There will be a man that will do that. His name will be the beast. And he will be Satan's man. And he will be a Gentile ruler. And then the Jewish Antichrist. And Satan will be worshipped through his men, his beasts. And they will encourage Satan worship. By the way, more and more, Tom Layden was in our Sunday school class. He said Satan worship is now coming out in the public school classrooms. They're coming out. He gave an incident where it was being done in public schools. Literal Satan worship. And the thing is, Satan, more and more, as we get closer to the end, is going to be worship, and you're going to see aliens show up. Believe me, I had a guy leave my Sunday school class, Brother Bob, one time because I mentioned this, but I haven't changed on it. Aliens will very well show up, and it will be devils and demons that will come to deceive people. And so we are seeing that all happen. But the bottom line is, the Lord said, "Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And so we need to be focusing our wealth on the coming kingdom. Last night I knew you can't take anything out of this world. Can you take your car out of this world? Can you take your house out of this world? Can you take your lawns and gardens out of this world? Can you take your clothes out of this world? You can't take any of it out. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to use these things, but don't abuse this world. Realize God's the owner of everything you have, and you're just a manager. The real wealth, listen to me now, the real wealth is when everything reverts in the kingdom, and the judgment seat of Christ is when God's going to give you your inheritance in the kingdom. I want an abundant entrance, 2 Peter 1, abundant entrance. How are you going to get that? Soul winning, man. How are you going to get that? Investing your life in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what our Lord wants. He's the ultimate soul winner. And so that is what it's all about. And so I said this morning, even when it comes to believers, many believers that are first will be what? One of the men, help me. Last. Everybody's saying it. And the last will be what? First. And that is because the apostles were the preachers of that day, and like unlike a lot of preachers today, you know, who it's all about me and everything is for me, they poured their lives out. Amen? And Paul said, we're last, but he is one of the first. Amen? And the apostles, by the way, does anybody remember what I said this morning? What job the Lord gave the apostles in the mediatorial kingdom? One of the men helped me. What was the job that will be part of their reward that the apostles get? And that's in Matthew's gospel in the mediatorial kingdom. Brother Bob.
Judges over the 12 tribes of Israel.
Absolutely. So each apostle will have judgment and rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, in my church that I was brought up in, and my mother's here tonight, was the Christian Reformed Church, Protestant Church, and they were what we call amillennial. And this would seem very carnal to that church, like, oh, the kingdom is spiritual. It's now. It's just not a literal thousand years where, no, it's a literal thousand-year kingdom. And these tribes of Israel that Brother Bob just talked about will be the earthly people of God that will get saved at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. They'll be saved by believing in Messiah, and they won't be like us. We will be there with glorified bodies, and they will have unglorified bodies. They will be marrying, they will have children, they will live in houses, and the apostles will be ruling over them. But you'll have a job to do too. Pray for me. I'm putting in for the mayor of Scranton. You'll have a job to do too. And it will be a very important job. And there'll be people in their unglorified bodies. And this dispensation, which is called the fullness of times, the mediatorial kingdom, it'll be a kind of a strange thing because people like you and I in the little flock of God, the church of God, little compared to the billions on earth now because there are more Broadway leads to destruction, we'll be ruling over the court system, over the legislation, over the whole shebang. You're being prepared for that. So he said, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom to come. So if he's going to do that for you, what are you worried about all the things in this world that are happening? And so we said, if you're not going to fear not, you're going to have to focus on your future in the kingdom, your future kingdom. And tonight I want to look at a second part of that. It says, notice this, go back to Luke chapter 12, verse 32. I'll read it. You follow in your copy of God's word. Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What's the second thing you to focus on? You're so focused on not only the future kingdom, but you're to focus on your Father's pleasure. Your Father's pleasure. Well, you say, well, what's my Father's pleasure? Okay, I'm to focus on the kingdom, but what about the Father's pleasure? Well, the Word of God says that what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What is the Father's pleasure? The Father's pleasure is to be for a people that he cares for. The Father's pleasure. And here's what it says. And I'll read it to you. Right here it says, and I'm going to read you the verse that I meant to read. I read the wrong verse. I'm out of order here. It says, according to the good pleasure of his will, that he would do wonderful things in Ephesians 1. You say, well, what were the things he wanted to do? He chose a people to receive his kindness. He chose a people to receive his goodness. He chose a people in Ephesians chapter 1. And then once he chose those people, he predestinated those people. Now, don't miss this. This is important because you're in a Sunday evening and you need to learn some doctrine, some Bible doctrine. And we need to chew on it. I don't eat much meat, but I do chew on steaks in the Word of God. Amen. And one of the steaks I chew on is this, that it says in Ephesians chapter 1 that the Father chose us in him when? Before the foundation of the world. So choosing has to do with who will get the Father's grace. I'm going to say that again. Choosing or election has to do with who will get the Father's grace. Predestination, listen, predestination has to do what will become of those that get the Father's grace. And he said he's predestinated us in Ephesians 1 to not just get into heaven, not just be forgiven of sin, but to be elevated to be the sons of God and the daughters of God, to be in the family of God with the Lord, the Messiah, as our elder brother. Think of it. The Messiah, God Almighty, didn't become an angel. He condescended to be a man. And once we are saved through him, we are elevated not just to go to heaven, but to be the brethren of the Lord Jesus in the very family of God. And to share, listen to me, to share the inheritance of the new world that's coming. We have that blessing. And God is looking and is pleased to give that to people. Now, we know the nation of Israel was God's chosen nation, right? But do you know in Ephesians 1, God chose Gentiles to be saved too? I'm going to say that again. We know the nation of Israel, right, is the elect nation. Why did God choose Israel? Why did he make them his elect nation? Does anybody know? One of the men know? Why did God choose Israel and make? Just because he did. You say, I don't like that. Well, tough. You're not God. And do you know, though, the good news is that he chose non-Jews to share with Jews in this dispensation in which we now live. And what dispensation are we living in now? The church dispensation. And he chose in the church dispensation, beloved, for Jews and Gentiles to be on an equal footing as the bride of Christ, as the queen that will reign with him as his aristocracy in the coming kingdom. And that is the Father's good pleasure. He's looking for people to bestow his grace. And why is he doing that? It's to glorify his goodness, to glorify his grace. See, it's not about you and I. It's all about God. It's all to the glory of God. Read Ephesians 1, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You say, I don't like that. Again, I have to say tough. I love it. I love it because it's the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed, listen to me tonight, of the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. I'm not ashamed. And we're talking tonight about what you and I can do so we won't be afraid. We can focus on the future kingdom that's given to us, God's people, and we can focus on the God's good pleasure, that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us these blessings. Let me give an illustration from the Bible. We'll get back to this. In the Old Testament, there was a man that was a man after God's own heart. He was a shepherd, and he was elevated to become the king of all Israel. What was his name? David, right? David or David, he was the king. And he, when he reigned and ruled, if he followed what most kings did in those days, what would he do to the rival king's family? He would kill them. Now, he had a rival king, and you know his name was Saul, and Saul had died in battle. And realizing that the new king would be elevated to the throne, the nursemaid for one of the rival king's grandsons was rushing to run away from this new king. And in doing it, she dropped the boy. I knew a lady one time that dropped a kid on his head, and the kid became a man and was damaged all of his life from that. And this happened with this little young lad. He was dropped on his feet, and he was lame in his feet, and he couldn't walk. And so he was hidden away in a place called Lodibar, hidden away from the rival king. And now the rival king is ensconced on his throne. All the men are behind him. The army's behind him. He has all the power to crush the family of Saul and the grandchildren of Saul and the children of Saul. But what does he do? He goes to his servant. He says, can you tell me somebody from the house of Saul that I can show kindness to? And it was pointed up, well, there was this lame kid, lame on both feet. He lives in Lodibar. He said, I want you to send the king's chariot, and I want you to bring him to me. And his name was, you know his name, Mephibosheth, right? You guys know his name. And he didn't just let him live and say, hey, I'm not going to kill you. Now go back to Lodibar and live out a poor life there. He said, no, I'm going to bring you right into the palace. I'm going to sit you at the king's table, and you're going to eat with my family. Can you imagine that? You know, the waiters and the waitresses, it was like, I never watched this show, but Downton Abbey. Where they had the servants, I know, you know, people like to watch it. And that's what it was. They had it all there, and he was right there. And he was treated as royalty. That's what the Father's good pleasure is. To take people like you and me and others that are still out there and to bestow on them kindness and favor. And so that is exactly what God did. And you say, well, Pastor, if I focus on this, give me a reason why God would do this for me. Give me a reason why God would do this for others in this church that are saved. And I'll give you a reason. It's in Ephesians 2, verse 7. I'm going to read it to you tonight. It says that in the ages to come, in the ages to come. Now, you know the ages, right? There are seven dispensations. I believe in it. First of all, innocence in the Garden of Eden. Conscience after Adam and Eve fell, and they didn't have the Bible yet, but they had conscience. Then human government after the flood. And then we had the time of the patriarchal promise, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then we had law under Moses and the nation of Israel. And then we're in the church dispensation now, and that's the sixth one. And what is that? Church dispensation. What's the next one, the last one, in the time of having time? What's the seventh dispensation called? The what? One of the men know? All right. Let your son get this one. What's the last one?
Mediatorial.
Yeah, the mediatorial. Actually, it's the millennial form of the mediatorial kingdom. The millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Because, by the way, there is an eighth age, and that is eternity. And the mediatorial kingdom will go on in eternity. And so it's going to be world without end, age. Do you know the world is going to be here forever? Do you know the world is going to be here forever? Do you know that Christ is going to rule from Mount Zion forever, beyond 1,000 years? Did you know that? And do you know who's going to rule with him as the aristocracy forever? The bride of Christ. You guys in the church. You say, what does that mean to me, Pastor? You better start walking worthy of being a prince. You better start learning how to be a king's kid. And I'm not talking about a spoiled brat. That's not what God does. Look at David when he was in exile. He wasn't being spoiled. He was being trained in holiness. And so this is what God's plan is. And this is what God wants you to focus on so you won't fear, and you won't fear to give and to go for God, that you are being trained to reign forever and ever and ever in the ages to come. So let me read that to you again. Ephesians 2 verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound to me like I'm here because I had the sense enough to recognize Jesus and believe when those other guys didn't. That's not what it's talking about, beloved. That is a humanistic gospel, and I reject it. It's God's grace. By grace you're saved. And so this is talking about where your focus is. If you're going to focus on something that's going to remove fear, focus on the gift of the kingdom to come. And number two, focus on the Father's good pleasure to show you kindness, that he would make the likes of you. And why did he do it? He didn't choose many mighty. He didn't choose many noble. He didn't choose the rich of this world. He chose the poor of this world to confound the wise. That's what he did to humble the Corinthian church. They were so proud of their spiritual gifts. They were so proud of themselves. God said he didn't choose you because you were such great noble people. He chose the unlikely ones so he would get the glory. You see, that's why we should never be afraid to give the gospel to the poor and bring them in, and never reject the bus kid, amen? And never forget where you came from, beloved. Never forget where you came from. And so focus on the Father's good pleasure, and this is what it's talking about, and what a blessing it is. Now also, think about the fact of where you were when the Father invited you and summoned you to come and partake of the gospel feast. He is inviting you to come to a feast. How many of you have ever smelled good food cooking and you're really hungry and it just smells so good? And so, you know, the Father invites us to a gospel feast, and it's all prepared. Jesus already prepared the meal, right? He did it by giving his life, and you have this feast, and not only the forgiveness of sins, but being adopted into God's family and all the blessings and the riches of Christ, and you're invited to this feast. You'd say, who'd be crazy enough to reject that? And yet, how many of you have had people reject the gospel? Amen. Happens all the time. So see, we have a problem. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read it for you. And here's the problem. Because we're from Adam, the fallen king, it says, we are totally depraved. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, even when we were dead in sins. Have you ever seen a dead person? How many have seen a dead person? Do you think if you put food up to a dead person and let them smell it, that they'd be interested in it? I don't think so. I remember when my father was sick at the end. My father had a wonderful appetite through his life. My grandmother used to tease him and say we should put sideboards on George's plates, because he would go and just eat so much food the guy could really eat. And the Blooms are volume eaters. But even at the end, my father wasn't very hungry and didn't want to eat a whole lot. And when you're dead, you don't want to eat anything. There's no response. No response, right? And so when God invites us to the gospel feast, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, in order to respond to the gospel feast, God had to quicken you. What does quicken mean? Does one of the men know the definition of that word, quicken? What's quicken mean? Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. Brother Steve said he's got it. I'm going to run back there. All right, Brother Steve. What does quicken mean?
Make alive.
Amen and amen. He has to give you life when you're dead. Remember when God spoke and said, let there be light? And what happened? The electromagnetic field began to come alive and everything began to be activated. God had to make you alive so that you could believe and receive the salvation of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, but that not even of yourself. The faith is a work of God. So he says here in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved. You're not saved by faith. You're saved through faith by God's grace. You say, well, when Christ died, did he die for all of our sins? Yes. Even the sin of your unbelief. Because if he didn't die from your unbelief, then it would be your faith that saves you. No, it's God's grace. He died for your unbelief. He died for every sin and accomplished your salvation. You say, I thought he died for the world. Yes, from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation throughout all history. He didn't just die to make you savable. He died to accomplish the Father's good pleasure, which was to save you. Say, I don't like that. Tough. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to make you irresistibly drawn to Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. That's the Father's good pleasure. And that, my friend, is the gospel. And so, what a wonderful thing it is. And God wants you and I to focus on that. You say, even in soul winning, yes, the Apostle Paul said, I endure all things for what? The elect's sake. That they may obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. All that glitters isn't gold. All that say they believe are not saved. But I am so glad that God, his plan is to fill this house. His plan is to fill this church. I believe God wants us to know that his love is so broad and so deep and so wonderful. Because it's the Father's good pleasure to save people. And that ought to motivate us. It motivates me to go up and down Carbondale and Forest City and to go out into the dark hours. It motivates me because I'm focusing on the future kingdom and I'm focusing on the Father's good pleasure. And by the way, it was the Son's good pleasure to give his life to accomplish the Father's purpose. And he said, all that the Father hath given me. And he said, they'll come to me. Amen. He knew it. And I'm not going to lose anyone that the Father's given me. And he hasn't lost a one, beloved. And that ought to encourage you. That ought to stir you up. And so Isaiah 53 says this concerning the Son. It says, what is the Father's good pleasure in Isaiah 53? Can one of the men tell me what was the Father's good pleasure in Isaiah 53?
What is it pleased the Lord to bruise him?
Absolutely. It was the Father's good pleasure. He's doing Jeopardy again. It was the Father's good pleasure to bruise his Son. That word bruise means to crush him. It wasn't just a little bruising, you know. It was a crushing. Well, why would he be pleased to crush his Son? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever got somebody an expensive gift and it was sacrificial and you had to go really out for it, but you loved the person, you wanted to. It pleased you to do it because you wanted to see a smile on their face. I used to think of my father-in-law. He used to say, very generous man, my wife's father, extremely generous man, amazingly. And he would say, I'm giving you this. One time we came home and he had a new car for us. He got the car from a bank, a repo, and he got a great deal. It was a beautiful car for our family down in Florida. We were visiting him down there. He just had the car sitting there. And we came in, he said, I want to put a smile on your face when I can see it. I don't want you to get it when I'm dead. I want you to be able to see it. And we were able to fix up my house, my wife's stuff she wanted done because of some money my father left us through my mother-in-law. But he wanted to do something to put a smile on her face. This is the Father's good pleasure for you. You said, well, what did I do to deserve him crushing the wonderful Son of God? So that when I'm in heaven in the ages to come and walking on streets of gold and sitting at the king's table and enjoying all this, what is that all about? And you'll see the wounds of Jesus. You're not going to see scars. There are no scars. There are open wounds on his hand, an open wound in his side, an open wound on each of his feet. That's what you're going to see. And you're going to remember it's the Father's good pleasure to sacrifice his Son. And it pleased him to do that to his Son because he allowed it to be done. He could have stopped it, right? So you could be there. So I could be there. Do you realize the price that God paid so that you could be there, and what a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is? And so is it any wonder that it says in the Bible, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What a blessing that is. And I believe it's the Father's good pleasure. Listen to me. He has much people in this city. He has much people in northeastern Pennsylvania. Oh, they're children of wrath, even as others. Oh, they don't love God. Oh, they don't love Christ right now. But listen to me. It's the Father's good pleasure to save them. And if you'll go, God will use you and you will see them get saved. And what a blessing that is that he's given us that wonderful gift. Now, I want to say one more thing. Fear not, little flock, by focusing on your future kingdom. Fear not, little flock, by focusing on your Father, God the Father's good pleasure. But lastly, fear not by focusing on your faith, not your fears. You see, a lot of believers, sadly, are all focused on things that make them afraid, not on the wonderful future that we have, not on the Father's good pleasure. You need to enjoy the Lord. You know, the Bible says the chief purpose of man, actually it's the Old Baptist Confession, the London Baptist Confession, the Westminster Confession has the same thing. It says the chief purpose of man is to what? Glorify God and do what? Enjoy him forever. God wants you to enjoy God, and Matt mentioned it tonight. When you go out soul winning, enjoy God. When you go to church, enjoy God. Good. Don't take the fun out of fundamentalism. Enjoy God. And, you know, people will see you enjoying the Lord, and they'll be attracted to what you have because they have the world, and they're not enjoying the world, amen? It's not giving them joy, not real joy. And so you enjoy the Lord, and so don't focus on your fears, focus on the faith. And when you do that, here's what the Word of God says. It says, what shall we say then to these things that we've been talking about? Getting the kingdom, being chosen of God to have his kindness in the kingdom. What do we say to these things? He says in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Let me ask one of the men, what's the key to that scripture I just read to you? What is the key phrase in that chapter and that verse I just read to you? One of the men, anybody? It's very simple, if God be for us. If God be for us. If God sets his love on you, if God sets his grace upon you, You're going to get these blessings, and we've just been talking about the Father chose you. The Son was given a people to purchase their redemption. And the Holy Spirit was sent to invite you, to summon you, to bring you, like Mephibosheth was summoned to come to David. But you say, well, man, that is wonderful if God is for me, but how do I know if God is for me? How do I know if I'm one of those? Can you know it? Well, let's ask Jesus. Can you know it? Here's what he says. John 6:37. Listen, all that the Father giveth me to purchase their redemption, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's very simple. Do you want to come to Christ? Do you want to receive this gift by faith? He said, then you are amongst those that the Father gave me. That's how I know I'm one of those. I wasn't there, but I know it. Why? Because I've come to Christ. Why? Because I believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did I do that? Because the Father which sent Christ drew me. God had a plan for my life. I'm not focusing on my fear tonight. I'm focusing on faith in the revelation of God. I'm focusing on the Word of God tonight. And I'm not judging God like some people think they can do. I am accepting God for who He is. I'm not making God in my image. I'm accepting Him for who He is. And you need to do the same. And so tonight, focus on your faith. And if you go a little bit farther, you might say, but how do I know that God chose me for this grace? All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Thus you should reason. And by the way, we should reason. Start with God and reason out things. Come, let us what? Reason together, saith the Lord. If you start with God, don't check your brain at the door. Reason, use your brain. You should reason that if He gave you this great grace, then you need not fear over anything that comes at you in this life. You say, is that biblical? Yeah. He said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, nakedness, peril, sword. Anything in the world that is, anything, nothing can separate us from what? This love of God, this everlasting love of God that we've been talking about for Jew and Gentile, this love of God for His elect. What can separate His love? Read Romans 8 if you don't believe it. It's there. Read Romans 9 if you don't believe it. It's there, my friend. What can separate us from this love of God? Fear not, my little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't focus on your fleshly fears. Focus on faith in the Word of God. And what does it say in Romans 8:32? It says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And you can check out the all there. Every kindred, tribe, and nation of His chosen. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things, not to spoil us, but all things that we need to get ready to rule with Him. He's going to work everything together to make you like Jesus. Now, did He spoil His Son, Jesus? No, He didn't in this world. Did He spoil David? No, He didn't in this world. And He's not going to spoil you. He's not afraid to spank His children like some people are today. I've had a number of spankings. He wants you to be trained for His holiness. You say, what should my response be to these things? It's very simple. Romans chapter 12 puts it very simply. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, Not just on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. Not just when we come to church, but every moment of your life, you should be conscious of a God that's done this. The mercies of God that has done this for you. You should never get over your salvation. It's a great salvation. The fallen angels don't even get a Savior. And you've got a Savior. He didn't choose to save them. He didn't have to save them. He doesn't have to save you. He doesn't have to save me. But He did. And I, by the grace of God, I'm not getting over it. And I'm so sorry that I sin against Him and fail Him. And He left sin in my body just so I would be humbled and learn to be thankful for my great salvation. Are you afraid to eat this steak? I'm not. Because I chew on that meat. Brother Bob, I do eat steaks. I chew on that meat, and it has kept me going for 45 years. It's kept me being an independent, fundamental Baptist soul winner and going with men that would think I'm some kind of crazy man. But I can respect and appreciate them because they love God and they're winning souls, even though they don't chew on the meat I chew. I have meat to eat that they know not of. But I get rebuked when somebody's doing more than I'm doing, when I know what I know. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen with you. So give your body a living sacrifice to this great God that has saved you and blessed you. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about, fear not, little flock, because of the future kingdom.